Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back wherever you are around this ever more troubled planet. And it's not easy. Every day presents a different challenge, it seems like. And in the case of Jeff and Erica, Erica mostly, seems to find out new things which make these death shots even more anti-life. They are insidiously complex, sophisticated, in the worst possible sense of that term, and deadly ultimately. And we've made many observations about this. We have a very unusual guest on this first hour. We're going to do 2 hours with you tonight. And Erica, you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
What a pleasant voice you have. Always cheers me up to hear you. Okay.
Well, good.
We have been paying strict attention to a number of different formats that the death shot seems to foment and perpetrate in people. Everything from vaccidents to personality changes and other things. Smells, that's a big one. And that ties in with our special guest, whom you'll hear in just a couple of minutes. And I first want to thank a very wonderful person who made this interview possible tonight with our special guest, whose name is Linda. We'll get to Linda in just a minute. But we've talked, my friend, about smells, and some people kind of laugh. You can't smell a vaccine. Oh, yes, you can. People are doing it. And their descriptions, in many cases, overlap and are obviously indicative of something that is being smelled. We don't know what that is. We've recently been talking. We spend a lot of time talking, Erica and I. And we've come up with the idea that this is an odor that may be, capital M, in some cases, may be the beginnings of physiological death in the person, i.e. cell death, bacteria, dysbiosis, out of bounds. It may be that we're smelling putrescence. Now, some of the descriptions don't sound like putrescence, but some do. If you don't know what the word putrescence means, look it up. If you get a description of someone who says, yeah, I go into a room, and if there's a lot of people there, I smell. See, sometimes it smells like an outhouse uncleaned in the middle of summer. Others talk about how it's like a dryer sheet you throw in your dryer when you're drying clothes to make them have a nice fragrance and allegedly be softer or whatever. It's chemicals at work. And there are others who say it smells like a very strong Lysol kind of a thing, a cleaner, some kind of an anti-germ potion. It's odd. But what we're going to talk to our special guest about tonight is very unique, and I think it ties in with a lot of different things. So we're going to have a fun conversation with this, as far as fun can be expressed when talking about something horrific. Anything you want to add to that, please? Because this is a big deal. If we are smelling putrescence, I wouldn't be in the least surprised. That's just my take.
Yeah, this is, I guess, becoming more common now over the last several months. More and more shedding sensitive people are being able to detect the vax just by smell and from a distance.
And they can tell if it's Pfizer or Moderna, some of them claim.
Yeah, I did hear one report that she could actually nail down the brand that they had received.
Wow.
Now, you know, whether that's accurate or not, but that's saying something. And it's all of the smells you described. And then I would add to that, another common one is just a musty, kind of moldy, dirty laundry type of smell. And I would agree. I think it is some form of putrescence. I think a lot of these people are having issues with their digestion, their digestive tract. They're not digesting their food well. So there could be, you know, waste from undigested food accumulating within them. I suspect that they're, in many cases, their livers are compromised, so they're not producing the full complement of various enzymes, proteins to break down and assimilate the food that they're eating. A lot of cases, the pancreas is under attack, and that's responsible for producing bicarbonate and also a range of enzymes, digestive enzymes. So that could be the result.
Gallbladder?
Gallbladder, yes, correct. Mm-hmm. The bile flow is not there, so you can't emulsify your fats. So, you know, digestion is huge. A lot of disease does begin in the gut. You know, and if the gut is not receiving a good blood supply because it's microclotted or there's infections in there, I think we are smelling a signature of death. They're beginning to decompose. I mean, I hate to say that, but
it's very small in the beginning, but some people have a hypersensitive sense of smell. I don't smell it yet. I haven't smelled it yet. Now, you have. You've smelled it one time.
I think I have. I think. After I was made aware of that phenomenon, I started to kind of look for it, and I think I did at least once, maybe twice, and it isn't like anything I'd ever smelled before.
See, but most people will just blow that away and say, well, it's just they had some cleaner in the office, or if they're in a medical office of some kind.
Right.
Or they'll say, yeah, they're just sanitizing, and it's the smell of a sanitizer. No, not necessarily. These are unique smells, and not everybody smells them. You can have go ahead.
I was just going to say that the smell is one of the most primal senses, and if these people who had become sensitized to shedding began to associate a smell with that feeling, that would be, you know, that's why they realize there's a connection. The smell hits them and they know what's coming. Misery.
Too true. We put up under our two guest tonight a Rudolf Steiner quote. And I think I'd like to. Should we read this before we bring our guest on, or after? What's your take?
I think let's do it before, because everything she says is kind of pertains to exactly this.
Okay, all right. This is called, I'll take the two first graphs and you take the rest. We like to share. It's called, and this is Rudolf Steiner. And if you don't know who Rudolf Steiner is, R-U-D-O-L-F-S-T-E-I-N-E-R, it's worth a look. It's titled, Eliminate the Soul with Medicine. Now, that's a quote. Now, if you know about Rockefeller Medicine, that would certainly be under its purview. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were working on something like that. All right, so Rudolf Steiner, more than 100 years ago, wrote the following. In the future, we will eliminate the soul with medicine. Under the pretext of a healthy point of view, there will be a vaccine, it's 100 years ago, by which the human body will be treated as soon as possible directly at birth, so that the human being cannot develop the thought of the existence of soul and spirit. To materialistic doctors will be entrusted the task of removing the soul of humanity. You ever met a materialistic doctor, friends? I'll bet you have. As of today, people, 100 years ago, are vaccinated against this disease or that disease. So in the future, children will be vaccinated with a substance that can be produced precisely in such a way that people, thanks to this vaccination, will be immune to being subjected to the, quote, madness, end quote, of spiritual life. Go ahead.
He would be extremely smart, but he would not develop a conscience. and that is the true goal of some materialistic circles. With such a vaccine, you can easily make the etheric body loose in the physical body. Once the etheric body is detached, the relationship between the universe and the etheric body would become extremely unstable, and man would become an automaton, for the physical body of man must be polished on this earth by spiritual will. So the vaccine becomes a kind of eremenic force. Man can no longer get rid of a given materialistic feeling. He becomes materialistic of constitution and can no longer rise to the spiritual.
And let's add the word hedonism right there.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. Materialism, hedonism, narcissism. Oh, man.
Sloth, avarice.
Oh, absolutely. Greed. And how much greed is too much? Huh? There's no end to it. It's a cancer of the soul. And it will eat the soul up, if there was ever a soul there in the first place. So I don't know the answer to that. All right. Again, I want to thank our special friend who made this possible. I have spoken to this special lady, Linda, on the phone. She is remarkable. Erica has too. And Linda, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can, and I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your program tonight. Very interesting.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Now, Linda is how would you describe yourself, Linda? A natural healer? What would you say?
Well, I'm a blend. I have had some training in quantum physics. And I do a lot of energy work using the positive-negative frequency that is the natural occurring energy in the human body. And I've had a healing practice for probably close to 40 years. I had quite an experience in my life, but to get to this point, I actually was dismissed by the medical community, and and I thought at the time that they knew what they were talking about, and I was going to die. I was a very young person, even though I was very strong, very physically fit, because I was raised in the mountains. And my father taught us to eat from the land, and we are native bloodline, and so it was very natural for me to go that way. But our mother was definitely very into the medical, and she insisted that as children, that's the way we had to go, and so I grew up in that, too.
Rockefeller medicine.
Rockefeller
pharmaceutical medicine. So you tasted both sides of the dish.
Right.
Okay. All right. And you just mentioned you were a taxidermist too. That's wild.
Yes. For 30 years I was a taxidermist, and of course in the taxidermy work, you know, I skinned a lot of dead animals, and so I had an overload of parasites, and we tanned hides, and we used a lot of chemicals. And so I was extremely toxic. I did not know it, because the medical community knows nothing about testing for that. And until I got to a natural healing doctor who turned my life around, and then I began to educate myself, began to follow the Native American path, which we call the Red Road. You do have to choose, because there's two sides to the road. One leads to life, and the other one leads to death. And so we do believe that you have to choose. And I found it very interesting, your discussion about the smell. you know, out here in Montana, we used to rob the rattlesnake dens and get the venom. Well, I don't know if any of you have ever smelled what it smells like in a snake den. It is putrid. Horrible.
No.
And then now with the COVID, we're talking about shedding. And, you know, snakes shed their skin.
Mm.
So I relate the COVID to that type of demonic activity that's taking place, which is really sad because so many people have fallen in fear, but they did make the decision on their own most of the time to take the shot. And I think we have found that the core of our population has succumbed to fear. And, you know, snakes are very fearful. At least I'm scared of them.
Well, you're smart.
I don't like snakes.
No, I don't like rattlers. I don't mind a gopher snake, but no, the rattlers, no. Now, you said something that I think a lot of people, I think just reflexively went, oh, yes. When they start thinking of the people who drove the fear into the masses, and I'm talking not just this country, but elsewhere as well, the fear mongers like Anthony Fauci, Debbie Birx, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, get your shot, get your shot. Those people, and I when you were talking about taxidermy and skinning someone and tanning their hide, I think some people out there were saying honestly to themselves, those creeps deserve that kind of treatment. They have killed so many people. And where do you draw the line between utterly Luciferian demonism and humanism? Those people are not human in my book. They don't qualify.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The Senuses, their symbol has the serpentine energy on it. So they're
it's
showing
right there.
Us. You know, that this is their way. And so I do believe that people are going to, now I have become an herbalist, and I do believe that we are going to have to become our own doctors because we're not going to be able to trust them. We're not going to be able to go that way as we can see what they're doing to us. So why would we want to continue to go that way?
They're death factories now, Linda. Hospitals are death factories. You know it. I know it. Our listeners know it. Erica, go ahead. Do you have any questions or do you want to add something here?
Yeah, I think she's exactly right. And it's going to be, I guess, a big adjustment for many people because they've been disempowered. They don't realize they have grand potential to take care of themselves and heal themselves of many, many things. You know, a lot of it's going to involve lifestyle changes. You're not going to be able to get away with some of the indiscretions and vices that people are able to get away with now and then run to Big Pharma for a cure. So I it's going to be a big lesson for a lot of people because we've been so pampered and coddled by this system and as a result have given up our own power.
Now, when you treat people, when you go ahead, Linda. No, you please. You go ahead.
Well, in a way, you know, I'd like to turn that around because in my life, we have to become more responsible for our actions. And I do believe now we're seeing homeschooling. The family is coming back together. I see a lot of really good things. It hasn't all been negative. And we just have to learn to make better decisions and build community. look after one another, share information with one another that will help to preserve our lives. We're into survival, and we have homestead property, and so we're allowed to have a clothesline, and I love the sunshine on the clothes. You know, that goes into your body. Sure. The sad part of it is we know that there's stuff being sprayed into the air, and that can be harmful. But if you're a spiritual person, you can pray over these things that want to be negative, and because of the authority that we are giving by our higher power, if you believe, I do believe that we can have a much higher quality of life out of darkness. The light can shine.
It can. And the one thing you said that is particularly important is that people are capable of making good decisions if they have the honest, factual truth to work with. But unfortunately, the vast majority of Americans stare at that big flat screen and think that they're being informed. They think they're getting the news, and they're not. They're being programmed. So it's very difficult for them to make honest, good decisions that they otherwise might make. This has all been planned for decades and decades, and even more than that. Now, when you... We've got time. We're going to go through the break on this. Thank you. When you see people now, and this is going to be very fascinating to some of you out there, I'm sure, maybe most, hopefully. When you see people now, do you ask them straight away, have you been vaxxed or are you unvaxxed? And we can take it further, are you also untested? But let's just keep it vaxxed and unvaxxed right now. What are your protocols for working with people? Will you still work with the vaxxed, or will you not? Do you choose not to? What is your choice on that?
For me, it's when the person has taken the shot, they've already made the decision, because I work in the positive. And I cannot work with those that are negative. And when you take the shot, you are definitely negative energy, and you have lost what I call the spirit of life. It changes somehow. I hate to say it, but I do not do any more healing outside of just a special group of people, because I don't want to be that person that really sends somebody, let's say, over the brink to where they might take their life by telling them that I can no longer work with them. They made the choice, and so I have to make a choice too, and I just refuse to work with those.
I understand.
And maybe it's a selfish move, but I just
no.
can't work with them.
No, with shedding a real severe issue now, and we've been on this from the beginning, a year and a half plus,
yes.
You must protect yourself, or you're no good to anyone. You get sick, you know, you're out of it. So
yeah.
You have to protect yourself. That's fully understandable. Erica, go ahead. Anything?
Yeah, I would second that. And I'd also add that, you know, protecting yourself in terms of who you're giving your energy to as well. I mean, there's the physical protection, but there's also the energetic protection. And, you know, we're living in a high-stress time right now, and why make it more difficult? You've got to reserve some for yourself first and foremost so that you can help others that need it and want it and are deserving of it.
Well, if you're not good to yourself and you're not healthy, what can you offer other people?
That's
it's
right.
very difficult.
Yeah,
it,
I mean, if you deplete
hard.
Your own energy, you're good to no one.
Right. Okay, now here's the big punchline. We've got people who do feel unequivocally that they can smell someone who's been vaxxed. All right, we've established that. And we've read a number of accounts of people like that on the program in weeks and months past. When you encounter someone, Linda, and you've been at this for a number of decades now, you have a perspective and a panoramic view that few have, being a healer and having grown up the way you have. When you meet someone and they have been vaxxed, and when you go back to the beginning of the program and we were discussing the idea of slow but irrevocable downhill leading to death, putrescence, perhaps. What do you see when you see a vaxxed person?
A zombie. They are issuing no energy forth of light. You know how it is when you see people who are happy and full of joy, and it even makes you feel good because it's an energy.
Got it.
And these people that have been back, they're like the Walking Dead. They're no personality. They don't want to look you in the eye to talk to you. They will look to the side, or they'll look at you, but they'll walk right by. They make no friendly communication whatsoever. And I've been doing this on purpose, sitting on a bench out in the sunshine and watching people walk by. And, of course, I can read the energy, which ones have and haven't had the shot. And the ones that have had the shot, they're just like, you're not there, but then they aren't either. It's a weird, really weird.
Yeah,
I've never seen a time like this.
I know that description. They're disconnected. They're not. And I think it's partly a vibrational thing that you're not a part of their consciousness. Wherever their consciousness is, you're not a part of it. And so they literally don't see you.
And that leads to the question, is there something, Erica, and we've kicked this around forever, that we don't even know about yet, that could go to work on the frontal lobe, the hippocampus, to change the personality of the individual and turn them into a zombie-like creature, okay? Not monster creature, but, well, maybe monster creature. At any rate, something happens to them. Now, I talked to another person today who sees people on a regular basis, and I asked her, I said, have your clientele shown any different kinds of behaviors? Oh, yes. They're mean. They've turned nasty. And these are people I've dealt with for years. They're rude, especially to my receptionist and my staff. And this woman was utterly emphatic about it. These injected people are not the same. They're nasty. And I'm not sure if you're seeing that either up there, but it's being reported by more and more people.
Yeah, we had those stories last week, the pet groomers and the hairstylists.
Yes.
Customers are just crabby, short-tempered and crabby and forgetful.
That's being very polite, and they're actually worse than that in many cases. What are your thoughts on that,
yeah,
Linda?
Definitely so, and it's really sad because some of these people, you know, I've known all my life and were at one time very good friends, and that has all gone away. I don't know if some of it is because they're so ashamed that they took the shot, and of course they know that I would never partake in that. So do they cut themselves off voluntarily, or is it that they really cannot come close to someone who has a vibrant spirit? Is that like a danger to them? What is it? But they have lost their personality, is what it seems to me.
That's a very interesting observation. I think all of the above and more can be plugged into this. I think it's a multifaceted issue that deals with the soul, if it's still there, with the personality. And look, for those of you who are listening in and who are vaxxed, I know many of you are very kind and you're not mean and nasty and rude. You probably haven't had a major personality change. We're not talking about every single one here, but the majority seem to be changed. We'll leave it at that, I think, as a general summation. Something has happened to these people, and maybe it's guilt. Maybe they feel dumb, and they're ashamed to admit it to anyone. That's human. That would be an expected response profile. But beyond that, there's something else about the simple disregard for interpersonal communication kindness, which seems to be, and again, Eric and I have looked at many, many cases, reports. They're anecdotal. We give you that. But the same thing is said. My mom won't talk to me anymore. My daughter won't talk to me anymore. My brother's mean and nasty to me now. I've talked to so many people where they say that.
Yeah.
And it's not just a family being torn asunder from some getting the shot and some not. There's something happening to these people who have gotten this injection.
Yes, I know one fella, and he tried so hard to be a very spiritual person before, and he lied when he got the shot, and he kept it from his lady friend. She's a very spiritual person. She told me, she said, that his personality has changed. He is not the same man. She said, I don't know where he went to. And she confronted him, and he tried to lie again, even though she had the receipt in her hand. They barely talk now. And it's just a sad thing. They cannot sit down at the table and have a conversation, a back-and-forth conversation. It's all one-sided or no conversation at all, and just that quiet.
Erica, what we've done in talking about this echoes this case that Linda is mentioning. But the point of the matter is, if one or the other partners in a relationship goes out and gets the shot or has gotten the shot and lies about it, he or she engaging in sexual relations or close physical contact with the unvaxxed is potentially an accessory to murder. Shortened life, I don't care. You take 6 months for somebody to die, they're still dead. This is really an horrific dynamic that has been injected, no pun intended, into the population here.
Yeah, this is, it's, for lack of a better word, an alien gene. I mean, this thing wasn't created naturally. It didn't arise naturally, evolve naturally. It was created in a lab by people with bad intentions. And now it's been set loose into the population. It's highly probable that animals are now being exposed to it and acquiring it, having to make peace with it somehow. It's going to have wide-reaching effects, and none of it's good.
Any other
it's
cases?
It's a death gene.
It is a death gene. It's a death protein. Linda, have you confronted anyone directly about this? Do you even waste your time anymore talking to them? Those who will talk, or do you just not talk to people at all, generally?
I try to stay away and protect myself and my family because I know that they are shedding. And so we're very careful. We live out in the country, and we try to stay on our own property as much as possible and share with our community that we know is not vaxxed. We have some beautiful people. Not all of us have fallen, so that's a joy.
Yes.
And I always like to leave with some joy. Because that is where strength is at, is in our joy. And so I encourage people to try to find joy somehow in their life, even though it looks really bad, and I know it's going to be. There's no doubt about it. And I don't think we can even begin to imagine what is coming. There is no way. We don't want it to begin with. And so we're going to be hoping that we can get by, but it's not going to be a pretty picture. I do know that. Yeah.
You're right. You're 100% correct. The other issues of those who have tragically been duped or who believe the medical community is really there to help them, and there are some good professionals out there, you who are listening who are dedicated, like Nurse Anne and others, we know that. But they're being driven out of the system with mandates and ostracism, yeah, and other things, which is our loss. But my question, Linda, is, are there other things you're noticing in people that you've known who took the shot? And I'm talking specifically about the many reports we've read about people looking much older in a very short period of time, 6 months, 12 months, they look like they've aged 15 years. Have you run into that too?
Yes, and that is actually a normal reaction to a person who has lost their frequency of life, because now they are living out the frequency of death. And it is going to be a very negative and a very powerful energy because they fell to fear. Fear is one of the most horrendous negative energies we can ever have happen in our bodies, mentally, spiritually, yeah, and physically. Fear, yeah, is overwhelming, and it changes the frequency in the body.
So true.
All right, partner, we've done all these readers. We've talked to people. Linda is really underscoring so many things that we've presented, and I don't want to overstate it, but she is right. As bad as things are now, these people who have gotten a shot are likely, I don't want to condemn anyone, very likely already dying. There will be exceptions, but the mass, the majority of those who have taken the shot are already in decline. We can see it in their physiology. You've heard that. Some people can smell it. They're obviously suffering AIDS. Their immune systems are being wiped out. So when they get exposed to something, there's no reaction in their body. And they become what? Super carriers of all kinds of things. We're seeing cancers now. Wild, crazy cancers developing in people or being reactivated in people. Go ahead, Linda.
It's impossible for those of us who have the spirit of joy and life within us to even imagine what it would be like to live like someone who has lost that frequency. Death is at their door, and it's just a matter of time, and it will come in all different ways.
Yes.
Now with the variants, and people are dying of all different sorts of things. It's so confusing. We just lost a friend up here, and the doctors had done 30 blood tests and could not find what killed her. She was a young, vibrant, very healthy, strong young woman. 30 blood tests. They did say she had no COVID, but they did not say she didn't have a variant. But they don't know how to test for the variants.
Well, there's one word
so
that they don't use.
It's going to be tragic.
Yes. One word they don't use, Linda, is amyloidosis and amyloid. And that's what's at the root cause of the death of many of these people. And it usually manifests with microclotting beginning and then major clotting in time. And these are fibroclots. These are proteinaceous clots. They're not blood clots. So they don't show up on a D-dimer test. Ugh. They don't show up on a D-dimer test. So these people literally can be walking and talking 1 minute, and all of a sudden this fibrous protein clot occludes and shuts down the blood flow from a major artery or a return trip on a vein, and they die. And this is the insidious nature, one of dozens of ways that this can act. But you don't hear amyloid or amyloidosis being talked about. That's being covered up. The word came down, do not talk about that in the media. And the media doesn't talk about it. We do, but you've seen these clots. They're horrible.
Well, there's those clots, and then there's the same thing. Wherever that spike protein or the mRNA that gives the instructions to make this the spike protein ends up, that organ or tissue will become fibrotic. And I think the most insidious part, and would probably explain the number of sudden deaths in athletes, and now to a more greater extent in the general population, as we're seeing happening, is that the heart has become fibrotic. And when it's fibrotic, it's full of scar tissue, and it can't conduct electrical impulses the way it should.
And that opens the door to one last thing I wanted to run by you, Linda, and that's that we've been talking lately about the human bioelectric potential. We are electrical first and chemical second. And if these shots were designed, and they may have components in them that we still haven't been able to isolate or point to directly, if they're shutting down the autonomic electrical nerve system that we have, that keeps your heart beating, you know, et cetera. That could be another aspect of this. We think there's an electrical component to it. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we are electrical beings. you can get a shock off of things. A human body can get a shock off of things by rubbing something and picking up that frequency will come off and shock you. So yes, we do have positive and negative energy within the body, and in the Native American system we call it walking the red road, but there's two wolves, and one leads to death and darkness, and the other one is light and life, and it depends upon which wolf you feed is the one that's going to win in your life. And we definitely are seeing the destruction in not only the physical, this is the whole body, the spiritual, the physical, and the emotional. It is death throughout the whole body.
Yeah.
Systemic annihilation. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Anything else, Erica, to add? So many things.
Yeah, when you consider, a simple description or definition of life is the flow of electrons, and it's how they're, organized. And these things are so disruptive at that level of that organized and precision timed flow of energy throughout the body, I mean, you can see why. These people have lost coherence with the divine, with their God-given DNA.
Linda, what would you say to anyone who is... Oh, I think we lost her. All right, well, maybe we can get her back and at least say goodnight. But the people out there, and the stories I think that rankle me, and I don't want to speak for Erica, but I know we agree on this. The stories that kind of drive you crazy are the ones where someone suffers a massive vax-induced injury, and they say, oh, if I had just gotten that second booster. They just cannot understand what they've done to themselves.
No.
It's a shock.
We got cut off for a bit.
That's okay, Linda. You're back. Yeah, we were just saying that people are in denial, and that's how fear works. It drives people away from pragmatic life and factual data. It drives them into fear, and they give that up. And so what we have are people who, we were just saying that some people who have been very gravely injured by these injections, and they're obviously going to die, but they still say, oh, if I had only gotten that extra booster. Oh, I didn't get that extra booster quick enough. They cannot face facts. And that's part of your zombified people.
Tragically, that is what we're looking at. And it's so deceptive that these people believe that deceiving spirit, and it's a terrible, terrible thing.
It is. Linda, I want to thank you very, very much, and I know Erica has a few words for you as well. You've contributed enormously, and we really appreciate you and your perspective and your special friend there with you. We thank her very much. Erica?
And I want to thank you, too, and keep up the good work. We need to put out the good word.
Well, we try. Erica, anything you want to say real quick?
Yeah, we really appreciate it, Linda, and it's, you know, your positivity and faith in this and you know, humanity. Your insights are extremely valuable.
Thank you very much.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Linda. And
yep, be well.
We will perhaps talk again. You keep up the good work, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda. Good night.
Wow, what a fine, nice, gentle, enlightened person. I think most of you listening who listen to us often understand that what we're doing here is desperately, maybe, we're doing everything we can to reach out and offer reasonable analyses of what we're seeing for you to consider. And when you have a split family and those family members don't talk to you anymore or they're mean to you or rude or whatever, it's a tough, tough row to hoe. It's difficult. And all I can say is it happens. It's happening far more than you would ever realize, and it's going to continue to happen. So just know that you did not do anything wrong, and they, I don't believe, know what the hell they're doing anymore in many cases.
No, I agree. It's I don't know, you know, with our guest the other night, John, there, that was rather enlightening that some of these people are starting to realize they screwed up.
Well, there's buyer's remorse out there, but, you know.
Slowly.
Yeah. And what do you tell people like that? You don't, it's people don't want to engage. And I understand. I understand why. What are you going to do? Someone's going to just break down and start sobbing. They know they have done something that badly to themselves. It's not easy. All right, young lady, we'll be right back with hour two in just a couple of minutes. So stand by, everyone, and we shall continue. We'll be right back.